In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dear faithful, today the Church celebrates with Passion Sunday the beginning of the brief liturgical season called Passiontide, during which the Church turns all of her attention more explicitly toward the betrayal of the Lord, toward his sufferings, and toward his death. It's meant to help us to prepare well, to enter deeply into the mystery of and receive more intensely, more fruitfully than ever before, what the Lord accomplished for us during his passion, death, and resurrection. Regardless of how the season of Lent has gone until now, whether it's been what it should have been, a season of conversion through more intense prayer, fast, and sacrifice, or whether it has been a series of missed opportunities, now is the time the Church wants to help us to focus, to get serious, to change our priorities, to make sure we are not just bystanders of the sacred mysteries we are preparing to mark, but active participants, zealous and passionate members of Christ's saving works. We witness in the Gospel some of what Jesus needed to endure in order to redeem us. We hear Jesus' contentious dialogue with many of the scribes, Pharisees, chief priests, and others in the temple area immediately after Jesus saved the life of the woman caught in adultery, whose life they were using as a prop to try to entrap Jesus. The conversation only grew in intensity after that showdown, in which those who had made themselves Jesus' adversaries were challenging his credentials and accusing him of the most horrible things, while Jesus was responding by calling out their hypocrisy, so they were claiming to be faithfully worshiping God while they really did not know who he was, and to be good sons of Abraham, while instead of doing deeds of faith like Abraham, they were plotting to kill Jesus. They were children not of Abraham, Jesus insisted, but children of the devil, because they were willingly, though unwittingly, carrying out the devil's plans. As obedient sons of the fathers of lies, the Jews were stubbornly opposing the truth Jesus was witnessing and incarnating. That sets up today's passage. Jesus asks, "Can any of you charge me with sin?" We can hear the pause as Jesus looked around to see if anyone had ever seen him sin. The people at whom he was peering almost certainly included many of those who had had to drop stones minutes earlier, when Jesus said, in the context of their wanting to kill the woman caught in adultery, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Nobody, obviously, could say that Jesus had sinned. So Jesus continued, "If I am telling the truth, why do you not believe me?" Again, we can imagine a long pause, so that Jesus could allow his words to sink. When no one proffered an answer to tell them the reason, whoever belongs to God hears the words of God. Underlining, for this reason, you do not listen because you do not belong to God. His opponents answered by accusing him of being a devil and being possessed. Jesus replied that he was not possessed, but in everything was honoring the Father who seeks his Son's glory, and that God himself, not them, not Pontius Pilate, not Herod, will judge. If that were not enough, Jesus continued, bringing them and us squarely to faith whether we will receive what he sought to accomplish during his passion. Swearing an oath, Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." Dear faithful, his auditors found that claim ridiculous, since all the prophets had died. Moses had died, and Abraham had likewise breathed his last on earth. Jesus added that the Father would glorify him through his resurrection and ours, and that Abraham had rejoiced to see his day. Rejoiced because Jesus was among the sons prophesied when he counted the stars. He was the one through whom Abraham would be blessed. He was the one who would be the fulfillment of the sacrifice of Isaac, carrying his own wood, as the Lamb of God would provide. The enemies of Jesus argued that Jesus was too young for to have known Abraham, who had lived 18,000 years before. But then Jesus laid all his cards on the table with a statement pointing clearly to his divinity. "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." He used the same expression God had used with Moses from the burning bush. The enemies of Christ picked up stones to try to kill him for blasphemy. But he left the temple area to await the events that we will ponder next Sunday and throughout Holy Week in the reading of the Passion. He didn't leave because he was scared. He left because his mission was not all accomplished. Why does the Church have us ponder this passage on Passion today, Sunday? Not only because it reveals the opposition to Jesus that would lead to his death, but also it is meant to expose within us any resistance to living by faith in Jesus. Do we oppose him in any way? Do we recognize just that Jesus is telling the truth and therefore believe in him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength? Do we listen to the words he says and obey them, just like Jesus, who knows the Father and keeps his word? Do we honor Jesus, or do we dishonor him by our thoughts, words, and conduct? Dear faithful, dear friends, as we draw closer to the reliving of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, the Church wants us pondering these thoughts and making choices. Choices about how we are going to spend these next 2 weeks. Choices about whether we are going to put God first and come to each of the events of the Sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. Choices about whether we are going to receive the atoning fruits of his passion in confession. Choices about whether we are going to persevere in and up our prayer fasting, almsgiving, or whether we are going to allow our commitments to wane. Choices about whether we will be satisfied with being part-time in our spiritual life or making our whole life an act of divine worship. In the Mass, we enter into the saving mysteries of Jesus' Passion. We go up to Golgotha with Jesus, and he enters the sanctuary. Whoever belongs to God, he tells us, hears the words of God. May we put into practice what we have heard, so that our consciences may be cleansed from dead works. We might worship the living God and receive with joy here today in Jesus a down payment of an eternal inheritance. As we look at Jesus on the cross, we confront the mystery of suffering and death, and the paradox that suffering with Jesus leads to glory and happiness. Our task now is to grow in faith, facing difficulties and pains. Our task now is to follow him during Holy Week. He says, "If you wish to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me." Dear faithful, these words are addressed to you and to me. In the Acts of the Apostles, it is said that the apostles rejoiced that they could suffer something for Jesus. They found joy in their sufferings because they saw meaning in it. They were sharing in the sufferings of Christ and had hope of eternal salvation. So during this Passion Tide, let us imitate the apostles. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.